a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to March 7th, 2024. It is a Thursday. This is episode number 573 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Briefing Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher, and over the next 45 minutes, me, you, Kenneth Ruff across the pond, Thomas Marquette, Alpha Sierra, Cyber Hamburglar bringing in the heat, Carrie, Alpha Sierra, Sebazot, Emilio Garcia, Marcus Kyler, and the Yeet Crew. Folks over on LinkedIn like Logan Fuller and Joe Hudson. Folks over on YouTube like Dan Cash and A Nobody. Long-timers and first-timers, we're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day. And I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis and hot takes on all of those. On what it means to you as a practitioner, or if you're looking to break in the industry, how you can use that information to drive cyber risk reduction for your business stakeholders. And if you're looking to break into the industry, believe me, you're going to be asked in any job interview, how do you stay current on the industry? This right here is a mic drop, slam dunk, chef's kiss. Use whatever generational metaphor you like to use for epic answer to that question. And the networking's awesome. Hashtag Team SC, the Simply Cyber community, always coming in full effect. Look at it, that stream and torrent of awesome, supportive, inclusive good mornings and hellos. And coffee cup cheers. Don't be shy. Say what's up. Drop a hello in chat, a hashtag Team SC, and get on the train because it's choo-choo all aboard to the value station. Now, before I get into the streams, I want you to know that I do not research or know any of the stories that are about to come up. So you're getting my honest review as if we were you walked up to me at the water cooler at work back when we used to go to the office. And said, hey, did you hear about this? And then I'm just like, ah, like that's what's about to happen. Now, before I get into it, I do want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors who enable me to bring this podcast to you every single morning. Starting with my good friend, Eric Taylor, and the whole team at Barricade Cyber Solutions. Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks can cause massive issues for businesses and send dedicated hardworking business owners into turmoil. But guess what? Barricade Cyber Solutions knows how to mitigate the damage done by cyber incidents. Barricade Cyber knows how to yeet out threat actors. Go to barricadecyber.com, check them out, bookmark it, break glass in case of emergency at a minimum. Also want to say shout out and love to my man, Brandon Poole, and the whole squad over at Panopsi Security. Panopsi, get a partner who understands your cyber program and your business goals. Listen, if you have tactical needs like doing a tabletop exercise, or say your boss is like, listen, you know, employee, I need a plan for what we're doing to elevate, you know, the information security program in 2024. And you're like, boss, I've got two arms and one brain and you've got me doing five jobs. Like, what do you like? Something's got to give, bro. How about a little cashish, right?
Great cash, homie.
How about a little cashish and we can augment staff with somebody from Panopsi who can run an enterprise risk assessment or a tabletop exercise or help us map out our strategic goals for 2024. You feel me? Panopsi.com, links in the description below. Also want to say shout out and love to Anti-Siphon Training, but more about these beautiful babies at the mid-roll. Each episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Brief is worth half a CPE. So if you do have cybersecurity certifications, don't be shy. Say what's up in chat. Grab a screenshot that your name's there. That's another reason why it's on stream. So you can grab that photo and it's like legit. Like you don't just say you did it. You have evidence. At the end of the year, count how many files you got, divide by two, and that's how many CPEs you got. So, yeah, just whatever. Hashtag Team SC. Travis Dubb just did it, right? Marcus Kyler just did it. All you got to do, Wilbert Philippe, perfect. Team SC, ISC, CPE, done and done. All right, guys. Love it, love it, love it. If you are here for the first time before we get into it, do me a favor and let us know what's your first time. Hashtag first timer. We have a special emote for you. We have a special sound effect for you. And coming soon, compliments of DJ B-Sec, we will have even cooler, more Twitch-like experiences for you. We're doing a lot of spring cleaning around here on the Discord server, on the program itself. So stay tuned for that. I was going to try to go for it YOLO last night, and then I was like, the last thing I need to do is upgrade my my stream solution midweek and then have it go to hell. Sorry, Kennedy. So anyways, if you're a first-timer, hashtag first-timer. If you're a long-timer, welcome back, friend. As always, it's great to have you. Thank you for all you do for the community. It is Thursday, so it's Dan Reardon's meme of the week. We get a special meme from Haircut Fish every Thursday. He's dropped like five or six on me, so I'm going to go ahead and select one out of the group, but they're all awesome. They're all awesome. In fact, the meme of the week will not be me this week. I just remembered one he did that was like so funny that I'll share with you guys. I cracked up. Hey, NGNF Chewy, if I get that right, welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Let's welcome NGF Chewy. You'll have to drop a phonetic key if I got it wrong. All right. Hey, everybody, guess what? As fun as it is to have coffee, high five, and joke around, we got to meander back to our cubicles and do some work. Wah, wah, wah. But we don't have to make it suck. So sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over us in an awesome way.
From the CISO series, it's cybersecurity headlines.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Thursday, March 7th. 2024.
Lauren.
I'm Lauren Verno.
Lauren.
Online fraud hits record losses. The FBI's latest internet crime report for 2023 is out, and the numbers are grim. A reported $12.5 billion was lost to online fraud last year, up 22% from the year before. To put that into perspective, $12.5 billion could cover a Netflix subscription for about 67 million years. The report highlights over 880,000 complaints were received, with investment fraud accounting for the highest loss of $4.5 billion, showing a 38% increase from the previous year. The report also notes a rise in complaints related to ransomware, business email compromise scams, and cryptocurrency investment fraud.
All right, couple things here. One, just to address the joke that Lauren made about how $12.5 billion could fuel a Netflix subscription for 67 million years. I just want to put an asterisk on that and note that that is at today's prices. Who knows? Like, Netflix is like paper cutting me every single month. So I think maybe $12.5 billion might get you, if you account for inflation of Netflix accounts, might get you about 80 years of Netflix. All right, next thing. Dude, this is not exclusively business email compromise. This is just cyber fraud. And boy, spoiler alert, if you, hey, Casual Gaming, welcome to the party, pal. If you are, if you haven't been paying attention, online fraud is rampant. This includes romance scams, crypto scams, crypto bras scams, which, by the way,
I'm a crypto evangelist. I love it, love it, love it.
Seriously, like, with Bitcoin surging past 60,000, crypto bros are coming out of the woodwork, like dusting off their playbooks and getting back into the fraud game. And of course, this continues to include business email compromise. Those are basically like your three main, you know, it's like the three-headed monster of online fraud and scams and stuff like that. $12.5 billion. This is great information. The FBI releasing their IC3 report, which they do annually, is a wealth of information. I personally would recommend that you always grab up these reports that are kind of vendor agnostic, right? Like this FBI one is clearly vendor agnostic, but the Verizon Data Breach Incident Report annual is from Verizon, but it is based on intel they're seeing in the space. I think FireEye has a pretty good one too. There's a couple out there. The Ponemon Institute's always cranking out some good ones around healthcare. So scoop up these, because when you're making decks for executives or you're making decks for end users and stuff, even YouTube videos or LinkedIn posts, statistics matter, right? If you say, like $12.5 billion in fraud, you know, or 22% increase, like that's qualified or quantified, right? So if I just said, oh, there was a lot of cyber fraud in 2023, what the hell does that mean? That's like very subjective. It doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. But if you say a 22% increase year over year, well, now we're talking and it gives a little bit more context. So definitely do that. Hey, Jacob Phillips, I'm seeing congratulations. It says Jacob Phillips, congrats on the job. Tom Bishop, thanks for pointing it out. I didn't see it, but I'm going to trust the team here. And Jacob Phillips. Yes, my favorite sound effect on the board, reserved only for those who are busting into jobs. Congratulations, Jacob. That's sick, man. So here's a couple things. There's a couple high ticket ones in here about a construction firm in New York City got hit for $50 million, ransomware on the rise, et cetera, whatever. Two things to note. One, these numbers are only the intel that was reported to the FBI. So you got to remember, there's a lot of businesses and a lot of individuals who get scammed who do not report it to the FBI, either because they're embarrassed, they're afraid of repercussions, they're afraid of retribution or anything like that. So this is actually $12.5 billion is only a subset of the actual amount of fraud being committed. I also want to let you know that the $12.5 billion, bro, fraud's not going anywhere. If anything, it's getting more sophisticated. So we've seen in the romance scams in Ghana, where they've got playbooks. I actually watched a very interesting last week tonight with John Oliver on pig butchering. We talked about pig butchering a ton of times on this channel. This is where you get the random text message. Hey, I left my golf clubs in your car. Or hey, Gene, are we still on for dinner at Bob's Burgers tonight at 7? And you reply like wrong number, and then they strike up a conversation. The ecosystem behind that is terrible, and they prey on human emotions like emotional vampires, and they exploit the living crap out of it. And to make it even more sinister, by the way, the people who are on the other end are oftentimes modern day slaves who are stuck in Cambodia in these camps, basically being forced to execute these scams 14 hours a day, or they get beaten. It's crazy. Go watch that last week tonight. So TLDR, as practitioners, what we need to do is multi-factor authentication, educate our end users, have workflow processes around business email compromise, like anything over a certain amount needs a certain level of verbal approval or some out-of-band approval. And finally, remember, guys, romance scams, they're not targeting your business, right? It's not like, oh, I'm going to get into Microsoft.com and execute a romance scam, Threat Actor Academy. No, it's like going after your Aunt Donna or your Uncle John, whose like wife just passed away or who's moved to a retirement home and the kids have gone away and is basically just kind of like, you know, got nothing to do and feeling lonely, right? They get preyed on, and it's deceptively easy. Like they interviewed one of those workers who escaped from Cambodia, and he said, like, listen, like 80% of victims fall for it hard, like pretty quickly. So I know this story is about the FBI report and the $12.5 billion, but if you go down the supply chain and get to the source of the issue, that's where you have to address it. You can't address the symptoms here. You have to address the root cause. Protect yourself, protect your business, educate end users. and tell end users to educate their friends and family. Hey, guess what you're going to be talking about this spring break? Taking the picture of your feet at the beach, you know, and then overlay that with talking about romance scams with the fam.
States urge Meta to crack down on scammers. 41 attorney generals from around the U.S. are demanding, quote, immediate action from Meta to start cracking down on scammers who hijack Facebook and Instagram accounts. According to Reuters, the AGs point to Meta cutting thousands of jobs focused on security and privacy as a source of the problem. The letter reports these states are seeing a 250 to 1,000% increase in complaints about scammers accessing constituents' personal accounts. The complaint explains that these account takeovers are becoming a, quote, substantial drain on government resources, end quote.
Apple. All right. I think it's funny. 41 state AGs urge Meta. I get it, but okay, here's the thing. We just talked about $12.5 billion in fraud, right? Online fraud. It's not just text messages to your cell phone saying, hey, you know, your VHS tapes are late and need to be rewound before returned. It is DMing on Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever and getting that one-on-one romance scam activated and going, okay? So people are complaining because, yeah, they're freaking losing their money and realizing, oh, damn, I'm screwed. And then they're complaining to their local government or, you know, whatever, state government. So the state government's saying, like, this just kills me, man. Like, I get that you got to be careful with government intervention and private sector business, but, like, what is Meta's response to this? Like, nah, we're good. Like, Meta is so ubiquitous and so integrated into society that you would think they would have, you know, be held to like somewhat higher accountability of societal needs. But dude, it jumped 256% from 2022 to 23. They actually said some states are seeing a thousands of percent increase, which is freaking bananas. I don't know. I hope Meta does something about this. Meta's huge, right? They're a Fortune 5 company, so they got the resources. But like between election security, disinformation campaigns, and online cybercrime, you know, they got their work cut out for them. You just hope that they make it a priority. You know what I mean? Like they have the resources to be able to combat it. We have AI. You can see. Here's the thing: Meta can see into the DMs, right? It's not like your DMs are private. That's why a lot of times threat actors will try to, by the way, tell your end users this too. Threat actors will try to move you off the platform to Telegram or to Signal or mostly Telegram, but like they'll try to move you off platform. So then, you know, Meta, if they did introduce any type of control or detection or intervention, it wouldn't matter because you're no longer on the platform. Okay. So there we go. We'll see what happens.
Issues update for zero-day flaw. Apple has issued security updates for iOS and iPadOS to address two actively exploited vulnerabilities. Now, these vulnerabilities are related to memory corruption issues in the kernel and RTKit real-time operating system, respectively. According to Hacker News, these flaws allow attackers with arbitrary kernel read and write capability to bypass kernel memory protections. The vulnerabilities have been fixed in multiple iOSs for a range of devices, including iPhone 8 and later models, as well as various iPad generations. This update marks the third actively exploited zero-day address by Apple since the beginning of the year.
All right. I just grabbed my iPad. 17.4 is there. I'm getting an update. You should do it too. I mean, you could set to auto patch, but why not? Why not? You know what I mean?
You gotta patch it.
Just get it. Get it. I know it's inconvenient. Obviously, educate your end users. I'm looking at all you executives with your iPhones. I got the new iPhone 15. All right. So I will say I applaud Apple. They are usually pretty quick with the turnaround on getting patches in place. This one is pretty nasty, right? If you can get into the kernel is like basically the operating system's brain. It's you operate in user land because we're users. Beneath that is the kernel, and beneath that is the hardware. And the kernel is what gets all the special access. The kernel is like underneath the hood, pulling all the levers and doing all the things while we're just blissfully driving, sticking our head out the window like the Geico pig going, wee, wee, right? We don't worry about how the car works. We just want to get from A to B. And that's where the kernel is. So obviously, if a threat actor can get in the kernel, yikes. So, you know, I don't know who found this. It was probably hopefully done through responsible disclosure. All your devices are going to be in scope here. iPhones, iPads. Sometimes it's like the Apple TV and the watches, but this doesn't seem to actually fall into that capacity. So this is basically just a straight up patch it and move on. You know, they don't say it's being exploited. They just said they're 0 days, right? 0 day flaws. Oh my Jesus. The title says actively exploited. Okay. The fact that it's actively exploited, this needs to be a higher priority, frankly. I don't know how it's unfortunate because they don't say how exploitation works, whether it's going to a weird website or it's running some code on your device itself. So without the context of how exploitations work, okay. This story, as I said, I don't research these stories in advance. So the story is like basically my wingman right here answering questions as I pontificate out loud. It's currently not clear how the flaws are being weaponized in the wild. Then here's my thing. How do they know they're being exploited, right? I mean, how are you doing reverse engineering on the exploitations to know that's how they're doing it? I'm not sure. I'll leave that to security researchers. TLDR, you gotta patch it. You gotta patch it.
You gotta patch it.
Denial grows in involvement with Black Cat shutdown. The U.S. Justice Department and Europol joined the UK's National Crime Agency denying any involvement in the recent Black Cat alleged shutdown. Now, we first reported on Tuesday sites belonging to the ransomware gang were updated to show a takedown notice from a group of international law enforcement agencies. But all three agencies are now denying any involvement. According to the record, on Tuesday, leaders of the ransomware group admitted the alleged shutdown was part of a bigger scheme to shut the operation down.
Huh. All right. This is interesting. So you don't typically see this. I'm going to be putting my tinfoil hat on. So this isn't really a cyber story. This is like a meta, like cyber industry thing. So Black Cat got punched in the mouth wicked hard and taken down a couple weeks ago. And then Alfie had disruptions and it just happened to coincide with the huge takedown of Optum Health or Change Healthcare Optum and resulting in a $22 million payment. Now, yesterday we talked on the news that they suspect it might be an exit scam or whatever. Here's what I think. So there's no real story here. This is just like a follow-up, okay? Here's what I think. I have two hot takes, okay? Yeah, this is cyber drama, okay? I got two hot takes. Let's do this. I might even start a poll. Here's hot take number one. Alfie was like, dude, we got to back out of this, but we don't want people coming after us. And we don't want to have to listen for footsteps and get whacked. Like, cause we're on the train one day and all of a sudden someone walks up to us is like, I'm the affiliate. And then like shoot you. Right. So like, you don't want that. So what a perfect ruse. This is like a late 90s mid budget film story plot line. So the opening scene, by the way, like what they're going to do is, or maybe the Italian job, what they're going to do is they're going to screen cap Europol international law enforcement seizure page, flip over their homepage, and then like, you know, the five members who are like the ringleaders announce that they've been raided and taken down by Alfie. Now, nobody else, no affiliate's going to know that that's true or not. No, you know, outer circle member of Alfie is going to know it, whether it's true or not. Really, only the people who have the certs or the credentials to log into the server infrastructure are going to know whether or not that is true or not. And it's really, trust me, they're not given the SSH certs to everybody. It's not like, oh, welcome to the gang, like download your certs here. So what I suspect is that's what they've done. And they probably thought that law enforcement was going to take like a victory lap and just be like, oh yeah, like, did you do it? No. Did you do it? No. Doesn't matter. It's taken down. So let's take a lap for it. It's a good one for PR. And instead, international law enforcement's like, bro, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Which will sow discord in the, kind of the threat actor community of no honor among thieves. So that's what I suspect is happening. The other potential is that international law enforcement did do it and they're just denying involvement. But because of all the bureaucracy and interagency collaboration and knowledge share and international agency collaboration, it would be foolhardy to try to run some type of grand conspiracy of actually, excuse me, being involved in denying it. I mean, they definitely have like people they've arrested who are now informants and stuff like that. So like the conspiracy would get busted open immediately. So I believe that law enforcement does not know. And I suspect Alfie is trying to pull a fast, truly trying to tie up all the loose ends and boogie out of there. And instead, this got blown up in their face. We'll see what happens.
And now a word from our sponsor, Conveyor. Happy Thursday. Are you tired of us talking about Conveyor's AI security review automation software? Well, we'll stop talking about it if you come talk to them. Ready to give the market-leading AI for security questionnaires a spin? Try a free proof of concept at www.conveyor.com. Don't forget to mention this podcast for 5 free questionnaire credits when you purchase an enterprise plan.
To the 458 of you who are here this morning, good morning to you. I hope you're having a great show, great stream, a great vibe. We got DJ B-Sec coming on for jawjacking at the end. It's going to be all about good times. But right now, if you're getting educational value or entertainment value from the show, do the people of tomorrow a favor today. Hit the like button if you're on YouTube. It goes a long way to triggering the YouTube algorithm to go find more cyber people. Those people like NGFY, I think it was NGFY, and others who are first timers today, welcome to the party, pal. Do you know what? They probably found us because YouTube jammed us up in their face on their feet. So pay it forward. Hit the like button. I don't care about the number. The vanity metrics don't faze me. It's about triggering it so other people can find us and start helping and being part of this community. Thanks again to the stream sponsors, Barricade Cyber, Panopsi Security, and Anti-Siphon Training. Guys, if you don't know Anti-Siphon Training, they are disrupting the traditional training industry by providing cutting-edge, high-quality education to everyone, like you, Alpha Sierra, like you, Malware Trini, Kimberly Can Fix It, LaGrotte, Matthew Pelkey. Everyone, regardless of financial position, which means you could pay $0 for a lot of their training. They offer the students, though, the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, get that hands-on skills, and engage with the community in a fun way. Their classes are wicked fun. It's just like the chat over there. Class is like that. You're sharing memes, you're sharing knowledge, you're helping each other, you're meeting people. It's awesome. And right now, I think one of these, where is it? March 18th, John Strand himself is teaching a 4-day, 11 a.m. Eastern to 4 p.m. Eastern. So it's like a half day every day for 4 days class on getting started with Black Hills and MITRE ATT&CK. If you want to learn like the 11 important things that you need to really know about that you could wow interviews with and like start delivering cyber risk reduction day one at a job, this is the training for you. And oh, by the way, you can do it for $0. Go to antisiphontraining.com and follow the links to it. I'm going to drop the link to this specific training right here. Let me know in chat. Are you signed up? I'm kind of curious. I'm going to start a poll. Going to VHS and MITRE attack training. I'm just curious if anyone in the community is going. Let me know. I just started a poll. It's specific to this training. I want to know. All right. Hey, the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Daniel Whitford, a.k.a. Medicus Blog, currently has the baton. Medicus, are you in chat right now? You are. Please tag somebody. Whoops, Jesus. What is this? Please tag someone. Medicus, please tag someone in. Also would love to hear briefly what your experience was like just 24 hours into the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Listen, everybody, if you want to blow up your professional network, it's super easy to do. Just go on LinkedIn, search for this hashtag on the bottom, Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Search for it, connect to the people posting, comment on their posts, connect with the people in comments. Because you're in the comments now, the next person's going to connect with you. It's simple as that. You will blow up your LinkedIn network, I promise you. And whoever gets the baton, please just share your story on LinkedIn. Make sure you use the hashtag and tag me so I can help amplify it. All right. Every single day of the week is a special segment. And Thursdays are Dan Reardon's meme of the week. If you remember, John Hammond came on stream last week and was talking about how he is really a big Red Team fan now. So Dan put this together. I mean, John's known for Red Team operations, but he was really talking about how much he's in love with Blue Team and how he thinks Blue's where it's at. So Dan put this together. Thank you so much, Dan. Usually the memes are me or Eric Taylor or some combination, but John Hammond with the guest meme of the week. This looks great. If you like it, tell Haircut Fish. Great work as always, Haircut Fish. Thank you. All right, guys, all about good times. But again, like everything else, we got work to do and we got to do it. Let's go.
Fake photos lead to election fears. Super Tuesday may have gone off smoothly, according to CISA, but researchers now warn of a new concern, misleading AI-generated images. Now, this is not necessarily a new problem, but a new report from the Center for Countering Digital Hate reveals how troublesome the issue could become. Researchers were able to use OpenAI and Microsoft tools to create fake images, including President Biden lying in a hospital bed and election workers smashing voting machines. According to Reuters, the report showed that ChatGPT Plus and Image Creator were successful at blocking all prompts when asked for misleading images of candidates. However, Midjourney performed the worst out of all the tools, generating misleading images in 65% of the researchers' tests.
Oh my God. Like, I don't even want to put those queries into my Midjourney and get caught up in whatever that. This really isn't, again, Chris Young. I'm not sure how much this is a cyber issue as much as this is a societal issue. But guys, we are, I don't want to say we're heading to a collision, but there's got to be a way to watermark these AI images. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not good. It's not good. If this technology existed 4 years ago, I can only imagine what would have happened with evidence and leaks and, you know, here it is. And then like here's the thing, like real photos begin to get questionable and stuff like that. So this isn't really a cybersecurity. This is kind of a depressing real reality story. But like I've said before, this is definitely going to be used for romance scams, business email compromise scams. We've already seen AI and deepfake technology be used to steal $25 million. You know, a lot of fraudsters are going to use this technology. Now, this is around election manipulation, which is much more sinister and much more, James Bond versus Spectre type level stuff, but it's still all the same. But as a cyber practitioner, we can be aware of it, but we're not really, this doesn't really fall into the NIST cybersecurity framework per se. I mean, there is AI in the cyber framework, but not really like this.
Canadian Financial Intelligence Unit forced offline. Canada's Financial Intelligence Unit, the Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Center of Canada, says they took their corporate systems offline as a precaution after experiencing a cyber incident. The government agency is responsible for investigating money laundering cases and tracking millions of suspicious transactions. FinTrack released a statement saying none of the agency's intelligence or classified systems were impacted. Bleeping Computer reports they have not seen any ransomware or data extortion groups take responsibility for the attack.
It always catches my eye when I see something like this. Like, I would never have thought of like an anti-money laundering agency for a federal government. But when you see it, you're like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. I remember from my second semester at Threat Actor Academy, learning about disrupting the mechanisms that would identify or stop you from doing money laundering. I'm being playful. Obviously, I didn't go to Threat Actor Academy. But this is a ransomware attack. See, when I see ransomware, I'm not completely convinced that this was a deliberate targeted attack, because you got to remember, a lot of times threat actors are, spraying and praying what they hit, and then they'll actually succeed, and then they have to kind of sift through what they got to see who they captured. Like, is it worthwhile? Is it valuable? And sometimes, you might be trawling for tuna and all of a sudden a marlin jumps in your nets, right? So like things like this are like when Klopp Ransomware did the MoveIt breach and they got like Department of Energy data. Oh no, that like this is actually kind of a funny pun to me, but like that type of data is radioactive. Okay, radioactive to threat actors. You do not want to be touching U.S. Federal Department of Energy nuclear data, because they will unleash hell on you. So that's one of those ones where like they're trawling for tuna and a great white shark jumped into the net. You got to be like, whoop, not good. So, but that doesn't mean, the reason I'm not fully convinced when I see something like that is because that's usually how ransomware and threat actors go. But sometimes it could be a deliberate attack, right? Like, oh, we want to take this out because we're trying to launder money and the Canadian government is disrupting that. And we're about to do a major money laundering operation in the next 2 weeks. So we need to disable this, right? We've seen a couple instances of ransomware as a misleading device. Okay, I'll give you two. WannaCry. While people are like, oh, WannaCry, that was the OG kind of ransomware and had like the famous ransomware pop-up, but that was North Korea, and as far as I know, they didn't have any keys. They didn't unlock anything. It was just kind of a disruptive campaign. And so correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure they didn't, it was never really supposed to be a money generating ransomware attack. They didn't issue keys. Second was when Russia did the NotPetya attack against Ukraine. That was supposed to look like Petya ransomware, but in reality, it was just a wiper virus. So sometimes threat actors do this kind of like misattribution of what the payloads are supposed to do. So all that's to say, when you see something like this, you can't immediately be like, oh, it's ransomware, obviously. Only if the threat actor comes out and it's a known threat actor agent that is all about straight cash, homie, right? So like if like Lockbit or Alfie or Phobos or Royal or Vice or, Akira or Cyber Hamburglar or Flaming Donkey comes out, then you're like, all right, that's ransomware, because that's what they do. They're in that business. Yeah, thank you, Justin Gold. Here's the original WannaCry. If you didn't see it, take a good look. It'll probably be in a museum someday. This is what the original pop-up looked like. By the way, really quick shout out. I don't know if you can see it down here, but they were asking for $300 USD. $300 is what it would take to get your computer decrypted. That's like walking around money for ransomware payments nowadays. All right. So we'll see. Hopefully they get back up and running in no time soon. You could see in the story, they've covered a lot of like well-known Canadian entities have been hit. The Toronto Zoo, the Canadian Mountie Police or whatever. Yeah, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So Canada's having a tough time. What do they say in Canada? What's the cultural colloquial thing? Is it, oh, don't you know? Or is that Wisconsin? Oh, don't you know? Yeah, we got good maple syrup up here. It's very good. I don't know. That sounded like a mix of like Maine and maybe a European. I'll stay away from the Canadian accent.
Fake online meetings used to spread malware. The fake meeting scam strikes once again. Researchers from Zscaler's Threat Labs found a threat actor that is utilizing fake Skype, Google Meet, and Zoom meetings to distribute malware targeting both Android and Windows users. By creating convincingly similar websites hosted on shared web platforms, the attackers aim to spread commodity malware that can steal sensitive data. The malware delivered includes the Android-targeted SpyNote RAT and the Windows-focused NJRAT and DCRAT, capable of logging keystrokes, stealing files, and gathering confidential information.
This is pretty clever. I've said this on the show before, and by the way, they have this picture here because it's Rats remote access Trojan, although this is kind of a cute little mouse. Although if I saw this mouse in my kitchen, I'd lose my mind. I got to tell you, personally, I'm kind of a traditional conformist. I would be a terrible like red teamer because I don't really think outside the box that well. But when threat actors do, I'm always like, hat tip. Very interesting. This is one of those hat tip moments. Okay. So what they're doing, this is clever. And by the way, this is definitely actionable. You should definitely take action on this immediately for your cyber, to reduce cyber risk and for your business stakeholders. And I'm going to drop a link. I'm going to drop a link to this story in chat. So here's what threat actors are doing. Okay. They send an email with a meeting invite. You've seen a million of them. They have a normal look and feel. You might even be like desensitized to them at this point, because I'm thinking of my own self, right? I get an invite, like you just open it up, scroll till you see the hyperlink, hit it and go. Okay. So what they're doing is they're setting that up. And then when you hit the hyperlink, it looks like a Zoom meeting invite or a Skype, whoever the hell's, sorry, Kennedy, or whoever's using Skype, but like whatever. And you basically will go to a site and it'll pop up and you probably have Zoom installed or Skype installed, but it'll say you have the wrong version or something like that. And click here to download the version that you need. And in reality, you're clicking to download malware. You are opting into being compromised. Now, a couple techniques are being used here. One is typo squatting. We saw in the story that, you know, some of the links might say, you could see right here, cloudmeeting.pro or US06 webzoomus.pro. So things like this, you might be like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like Zoom's huge. They must have like different regions that they're supporting the server infrastructure out. But in reality, this is just straight malicious infrastructure. So typo squatting, educate your end users. I know it's a little bit of an early aughts best practice to look for typo squatting, but obviously it's still working for threat actors. Two, if you can, next-gen firewalls can sometimes update dynamically with block lists, so you could get that. You might want to educate your end users, especially, by the way, I would definitely focus on your sales team, okay? But educate, and I'll tell you why in a second, educate your end users on being mindful of meeting invites. Like, look at the meeting and think, do I know what this meeting is? Do I know what I'm doing here? And then I know it's a pain in the butt, but like, look at the URL. Is this legit? And tell them that this is what's happening. You will get your phone owned. And if you want to use fear, fear is a mechanism that does work. I don't recommend using it all the time, or else you just turn into a super villain. But you can tell them, like, listen, if you run this, your pictures on your phone, your personal text messages, your emails with your friends, family, spouse, loved ones, etc., they're all owned. That's it. And then all your passwords are owned, so they're going to get into your bank account. Don't use the fear stick very often, but you might have to on this particular one. Really clever of the threat actors. Also, you may, if you want, another thing that I would kind of throw out is like, if you know you have Zoom on your device, or you have, I mean, Google Meet is a browser-based solution. Like, if you know you have these things, you're not downloading and installing something. So be mindful. This is a tricky one, a little slippery for end users, non-tech people to get their head around. So just, you know, be mindful of that. Cigar Master with the baton pickup. Cigar do the baton not too long ago, but maybe it's an update. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm mistaken. Either way, Cigar, get on it, Cigar, with the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Love it. Way to go, threat actors, but this is pretty clever. This is pretty clever, and one that I'm going to add to my threat profile.
But what about the beer?
Ooh.
It's rare to find a little humor when reporting on a ransomware attack, but beer enthusiasts on Reddit have been having a field day with this one. The Belgian beer brand Duvel reports that they were the victim of a ransomware attack and that production was shut down. While there is no estimate of when operations will be back up and running, to not be concerned that the warehouses are, quote, stocked. Those aforementioned beer enthusiasts are calling the situation a national emergency, and questions have arisen about strategic reserves.
All right. Is Gary Sturgiotis in chat? Is Gary here? Oh, don't worry, Gary. Don't worry. They've got national reserves. Like, the United States has national petroleum reserves. Apparently, Belgium's got national Duvel reserves. Also, shout out to Lauren saying Duvel correctly. I love that. And I think it's funny, tongue in cheek, but also good from a business perspective for Duvel to come out and say that they're not going to be impacted. Remember, it's beer, and beer's funny, but guys, it's just manufacturing. Right? If you boil it down to its essence, this is manufacturing. They manufacture beer. There's a workflow. There's a process. There's an assembly line. There's distribution. It's a manufacturing. So it's not ridiculous for a brewery to be hit by ransomware. Now they say, don't worry, they've got tons of reserves. The thing is, brewing beer takes like a month, right? So yes, there's no issue right now for Duvel, but in reality, they will have an impact. Like, in a month or two, there will be a shortage. I mean, they'll probably just ration out the amount they're sending out to distributors. You guys may know Duvel. One of their lines is La Chouf, which has like the little garden gnomes. If you've ever seen that, like, they're pretty iconic. Let me see. Oh, here we go. All right. Excuse me as I just dip into beer stuff. Yeah, you see La Chouf, you see the, like, the little gnomes and stuff. Duvel's fine. Duvel's fine. It's not my jam, personally. Like, I've had it. Usually drink it out of a big snifter glass. It's kind of a dry Belgian for me. If I'm gonna go Belgian, I'm going Oh my god. I think Trappist. I mean, Trappist is a style, but anyways, whatever. So manufacturing company got hit. Standard practice, guys. Actually, there are some lessons learned here. Chimay, I like Chimay too. Standard practice here. Have a business continuity plan, especially if you work in manufacturing, because you're the number one. Manufacturing has been the king of the hill for like 4 years as far as industry targeted most by ransomware, because ransomware threat actors know that the impact is going to be high to a manufacturing. Like, when you stop manufacturing, you literally are stopping the blood flowing of potential cash flow for a business. And it's very scary for the executives of a manufacturing business. Second lesson learned here is communications and PR out to your you know, basically public or to your customer base, your supply chain, your vendors, whatever, on properly conveying it. In this instance, Duvel addressed the concern that they were down from a cyber attack, but they, you know, they said, don't worry. We've got plenty of beer. Like it's almost like lighthearted, like, hey, like this sucks. We're dealing with it, but don't sweat it. Like we've got it. We've got it. Which to me personally, when I see this and hear this, it gives me a sense of relief. Now I'm not like losing my mind about Duvel being down, but even if it was something like, I can't think of a good example of a manufacturing company, but like something that was like making tank parts or like F-16 or F-35 or whatever, like some type of like important piece of manufactured technology or machinery. You know, if they came out and said, hey, don't worry, we've got this. Like it just, it helps mollify and ease tensions and anxiety, which whether it's true or not remains to be seen. But from a kind of emotional control, you know, I at least appreciate it, right? So very interesting story and way to end it. General Dynamics, great example. Massive conglomerate, does all sorts of things, including manufacturing things. All right, let's go.
Every company claims they take cybersecurity very seriously.
All right, that's the last story. Thank you, Lauren, Verno. All right, y'all, what's cracking? That has been the show today. It's 8:51. I just want to remind you all, tomorrow or today, oh God, I'm so busy. Today at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, we're going live with SC Live, but it's just me, office hours with the professor. Maybe we'll bring on some guests. I could walk through some labs. I'll do AMA, whatever you want. I just kind of wanted to do a freestyle, fun, connect with the community because I'm always running around being busy and I miss you guys. So I wanted to do that. So come hang out. Have a good time. We got DJ B-Sec coming on the stream in a hot minute here. Let's bring him in. Let me see this really quickly. Well, really quick, if you were here just for the news, thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll see you at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. If you're ready, if you're just for the Daily Cyber Threat Brief, then we'll see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern as we finish out the week and finish strong. Again, congratulations to all those who passed certs and busted into new jobs. I saw that cyber engineer role. I think it was Jacob. Straight crushing it, homie. All right, let's go ahead and pivot now. We're going to pivot to our man, DJ B-Sec. Let me go ahead and do this transition as cool and as smooth as possible. Doink, 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 and doink. What's up, DJ B-Sec?
I wanted to sit here and scream pivot.
Pivot!
Pivot! Pivot! Exactly. So thanks. We got 30 minutes of jawjacking, maybe more because it's only 8:53 here on the Eastern Seaboard. Yeah, DJ B-Sec. What can we expect from you in the next 30 minutes, bud?
I've actually got a couple of stories. I've got one from about Team City that is an instance that's unpatched. So we'll go through that. I've got some stuff on issuance for Fidelity. Fidelity got popped. That wasn't in the news. There's a Chinese linked cyber spy story that didn't get put out there.
Oh, so that sounds intriguing. I like
we've
it.
We've also got one from .NET that... it looks like it's been patched, but it's being hit in the wild. So we'll go through that and answer questions. So we'll see if we get through those or we just answer questions.
All right. That sounds good. Everybody, well, let's check the poll really quickly. Looks like 45% of people out of 216 votes will be taking the John Strand Black Hills Information Security training. That's awesome. If you do go, you know, as usual, let them know Simply Cyber. Do a roll call for Simply Cyber. It's always nice kind of doing a raid inside of the class Discord there. All right, I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Thanks so much, B-Sec. Thank you so much for carrying the baton here, and we'll see you tomorrow.
No problem. Have fun at school. All right, let's jump into jawjacking. All right, everybody. You know what time it is. It's time to jawjack. Hopefully everybody can hear the music. If it's too loud, let me know. For those that are new here, this is the time of the show that we answer any questions that are dropped in, and we also go through any extra stories that are that pop up. So quick small little intro about me. I've been in the industry for over 25 years in IT and in security. Over the last 5 years has been really security based. So that's a small run up of what I do. So go ahead, fire up those questions. I've got some stories. Anybody that's got good questions, throw them in there, put a cue on there, and the mods will grab them and we'll jump over. Let's go ahead and jump over and check out some stories while we wait for these questions to pop in. All right, the first story I have, I've got a couple of them, and we can go ahead and let's, since we don't have Lauren to read our stories to us, let's go ahead and get ChatGPT to throw this in here real quick. This story is about Team City supply chain bugs. It looks as though, here we go, we got the CVEs on here. Many Team City instances are unpatched, allowing massive creation of rogue admins accounts. So that's what I noticed in this one right away, was their admin account. The Team City had gotten popped and admin accounts had been created. So not only did they get in, but they've also created admin accounts for back doors. We've got the bug. So our CVE, CVE 2024-2798, I guess we can look those up real quick and see where they're at. LeakIX discovered 1,711 unpatched devices with 1,442 unauthorized admin. Holy smokes, that's a lot. The top countries affected, the United States, Germany, Russia, the highest number of unpatched systems. This is crazy. All right, let's grab the CVEs and see what the... What are they at? I mean, if they're being exploited, they should be way up there, right? This looks like it. Oh, this is JetBrains. Again. Where is our number here? I don't see our number in here. Fraser, it's just ChatGPT. It is just a plugin that goes into Chrome that'll take over the page. It'll look through the page and summarize the page for you. Yeah, this is the... Okay, so this is JetBrains. It looks like Tenable's got one on it too. Okay, here we go. So this one says CVE-27198. The authentication bypass vulnerability is a critical. It's 9.8. And the path transversal vulnerability that allows for authentication bypass is 7.3. So that's a big one. So if you're using JetBrains, patch it, right? We got to patch it.
Ah, you got to patch it.
So what do you prefer, Marcus G, what do you prefer for a home user router, firewall software, pfSense, OpenSense? I think I went through that last week, Marcus G. 100% behind pfSense. Jump into pfSense, put it on a physical, like old machine. You don't need a lot to run it. It'll get you into, you'll be able to use, I think Snort is on there, so you'll be able to use all the features within pfSense. You can put multiple network cards in there and run multiple VLANs or run multiple internet connections. You can get like a 4G connection or a 5G connection and then have your home internet. That way you can run backups and stuff or have a backup line. pfSense is the way to go. pfSense gives you a real feel of how everything is in the real world, depending on what you're using. If you're using something like enterprise, like a Cisco ASA or a Palo Alto, that'll give you more of a real feel using pfSense. Is the music too loud or is the music just fine? I want to make sure I'm not blaring you out because it is loud in my ear. I feel like I'm screaming into the microphone. But I want y'all to hear it. Let's see. What is the best way to transition to GRC if you are currently work in ETL services for a financial institution as a newbie? Not sure what ETL is. ETL. Electronic transfer something. This is a great question for Jerry, and I'll try to answer it. Maybe we can post it. That way Jerry can talk about it today at 4:30. But for me, moving into GRC role is going in and being somebody that... Like, let me switch over here. Going in, being somebody that goes in and does write reports, do an analysis over what's going on in the company. From a financial standpoint, from where you're coming from, it should be pretty easy to transfer into GRC. We're talking about policies, procedures. You're doing audits and making sure that the companies are following what they've actually implemented. So if they actually implemented a policy, but they're not actually following the policy, that's part of that audit to say, hey, look, you've implemented these 10 things, but out of the 10 things that you said you implemented that you're doing, you're only doing 5 of them. Why? Why have we not started on the other 5? And if these other 5 are in your policy, why do you not have an exception in there for those 5 that you're missing? You need to have an exception for that policy. So when somebody reads through, you're able to point over to the exception of why that has not been implemented or why it was implemented and why it's being bypassed right now. So you need to make sure different policies and procedures are set up correctly. That would be the best way to jump into GRC, because you're going to do policies, right? It's governance, risk, and compliance. So you want to comply, check out the risk by auditing and so forth. Oh, what else do we have here? Yep. Trying to grab everything from the mods. Do you guys practice with AD or do you pay for a license? What about AWS? So Angular, you can, let me pull this up. You can use, I'm gonna grab what's up here. You can practice with AD for free. You can get a developer's account. Let's see. You can get a take me a second to get this pulled up. I need to actually have this. I know y'all aren't seeing what I'm doing. I got to get this grabbed and moved in. There we go. Developer's account. And let me log in. Actually, don't want to be doxing myself over here. I don't want that account. I've got to sign out all my accounts. But I want to show you guys this because this is actually something everybody, if you're just getting into the industry, this is an amazing way, especially to jump into Azure and Active Directory, is to get a developer's account. Oh, this is gonna fight me. You know what? I'll set this up, but I'm gonna pull this up so you can at least see where I'm talking about, and I'll put the link in chat. Yeah, I'll bear with me. Y'all keep throwing questions in. I'll answer these questions as I'm trying to get. So Do you think A plus net plus, this is from Sean Porter. Do you think A plus net plus is enough for a sysadmin role? In my opinion, it's not enough for a sysadmin role. It is enough to get you like a junior sysadmin to start. Nobody's going to walk in and be a sysadmin if you've never done it before. Sysadmin is, it's a big job. So sysadmin itself is going to be running servers. Basically a sysadmin, depending on what company you're in, is going to be more of your top tier, higher help desk, like a tier 2, tier 3 help desk person that's doing everything under the sun for the company when it comes to IT. All right, let me switch back over here. All right, so this is the developer admin center, or developer admin. You got admins on my brain. This is the Microsoft Development Center. You can come in to this. I'll put this into chat. And you can sign up for a free account, and you can run your own Active Directory. So you can set up MFA. It'll build out 16 or 20 users automatically, like that, instantly. And with those users, you can go and set up and create conditional policies. You can test stuff. So if you actually are an admin and you have an environment that you're running in, it's great to have this environment off to the side. You can go create conditional access policies and test them out over in that to make sure you don't blow up your production environment. It's free. It gives you 90 days. I believe, let me make sure. I know Hammond did something on this. I know John did. Let's see, John. See if we can find it. There we go. Cloud security, Microsoft developed tenants. Let's see. I think this is it. I've got everything under the sun running on my machine right now. It's running slow. But yeah, this is a using the developer environment is amazing. Let's see. I want to find the right one here. I'll make sure I find the right one from Hammond and put it in Discord for sure. So if you guys are not in Discord, jump into Discord. I will drop that into Discord. But it does last for 90 days, and I believe you can just continuously renew it. Yeah, there you go. So Live Beat Lab, Andy McPherson, it automatically renews. You can as long as you are active within your tenant, within your free development tenant, it should stay on. If you're not active, then it will shut itself down, I believe. Let's see, I'm a new Mac user. So this is from, I have no idea how to say this name. Sayukiti? Question is, I'm a new Mac user. What are some of the best ways and tools to make my personal MacBook secure? Unplug it from the internet. Haha, that's a joke. So I would... For Mac users, I mean, it's just going to be like a Windows user. You're going to make sure that you are not going to crazy sites, number one, not downloading stupid stuff and installing bad programs. Know what you're doing and look for antivirus. Put antivirus on there. Everybody believes that, you know, Mac is the end-all be-all, and it can't get popped, but it can. And yeah, you need to have get an EDR, put some type of antivirus on there so you have it. That's about it. Lazaro, hope all is well. When I started my new role At the start of the year, I took a break from my studies. Now, having a hard time getting back into it, any advice? So, Lazaro, we all do this. This is a great question, and everybody in the industry does this. What you're talking about is burnout. You're having a hard time getting back into it, and the reason you're having a hard time getting back into it is because it's not exciting for you right now. So what I would say is figure out what's exciting for you right now. What are you working? What is something that you're doing day to day that might be exciting for you in your job? And use that and pivot off of that and find something to go work on. Maybe build a lab or create a write-up or something that will get the juices flowing again for you wanting to do it. I go through this all the time. So almost at the end of every year, I get excited because we've got Advent of Cyber comes out and I want to jump on and do all that. And then by the time I get done with that and everything that's going on with work, I'm burnt out and I don't want to do anything. But something will kick off at work and I'll be like, oh, I really want to learn. I want to figure out how I can make this better. Like, I love automation. So I don't want to sit here and click all day and do different things. And as a system administrator, a network administrator, or somebody in security, taking the mind-numbing artifacts out of it and creating something that will allow you to click a button and get stuff done, even if it takes 8 hours to write a script, that script is going to give you more time over the year than it would for you constantly clicking. But a minute ago, we were talking about, let me switch over. We were talking about Azure AD and the developers. That is a great place in that development area to learn PowerShell for an Azure admin, and learn that it might take you 10 or 15 clicks to do something for a user, but you can write a one-line script that will loop through for all of your users and instantly get something done. So find something that's gonna pique your interest, that's gonna make you wanna jump back into it. And once you do that, then it's gonna kick off and do something else for you. That's kind of where I would go with that. What you're talking about is burnout, and everybody in the industry runs into it. So find something that you want to do, not something that you need to do, but find something that you want to do and do that, and do it for yourself. Don't do it for anybody else. Do it for yourself because you want to learn and you want to do something. Oh, Mikhail Eric, CEH exam in 6 hours. Let's go. Let's see what else we got. Hopefully we can pay. Jazzy J, can you talk about Change Healthcare? Man, we've had a lot going on with Change Healthcare lately. Change Healthcare, although it's my understanding that Change Healthcare did not actually have an incident, that is a third party of Change Healthcare that has the incident. That being said, it's a lot, or maybe it's a subsidy of Change Healthcare had the incident. But within Change Healthcare, they overreach everywhere, right? For instance, I mean, we even got messages in our office about Change Healthcare because it reaches everybody. I have nothing to do with Change Healthcare. As far as I know, my company that I work for has nothing to do with Change Healthcare, but you're getting messages about what's going on Change Healthcare because it was so massive. It's such a massive breach, third party. In fact, let's try and pull it up. If I remember correctly, it's not directly at Change Healthcare. Here we go. We have an HSS statement. Let's summarize this real quick. See if we can get. And this was of March 5th, so this was 2 days ago. Frazier, have a good day. See you later. Why did they pay them $22 million? Why did Change Healthcare pay? Or did they pay? Does anybody know, did they actually pay? I don't remember them. I know that they were asking for money. I don't know if they paid. So this is from HHS. So Cyber Incident Change Healthcare, the United Experience of Cybersecurity Breach, coordinated effects. HHS is coordinating with, so Change Healthcare is actually part of United Health Group. That's what it is. So United wasn't the one. State partners, regular updates. HHS maintains regular contact with them. Hospitals and providers have raised concerns. I know because of this, I believe it was CISA put something out about this, and not just about Change Healthcare or United Health Group, but they actually put something out saying all health and human services need to start paying more attention and be more vigilant, because it seems as though the health industry is really, really getting popped right now. Let's see, did they... did healthcare there are indications. Oh, I don't even have this up on. Okay, so there are indications that the health giant has paid $22 million in extortion, and the company struggled to bring us. Oh, this is from Krebs, so. Third week of February. So, apparently they did pay them $22 million. But the affiliate took the $22 million. Okay. I'm all over on this one. So, the affiliate did take the $22 million. I think this is the whole reason that Black Hat, LV said they were going to shut their doors, because they got their big payday. So Change Healthcare neither confirmed nor denied paying, so therefore they probably did that. That confirms that they did it. To me, in my opinion, it confirms that they did it. I responded with multiple media outlets with similar non-denial statements. So it says, on the bright side, the Nachi complaint seems to have been the final nail in the coffin for Black Hat Ransom Group, which was an affiliate, which was infiltrated by, seeing this statement right here. I don't believe that one. Not from everything I've seen. It seems as though Alf V or Black Hat turned their stuff off, or they're saying they turned it off. I did see something yesterday where their main page was, does show that it's been taken over by the FBI, but. All right, we got a whole bunch in here. What do we got? Questions? SSD. There's a lot of network monitoring and security tools. Which ones have you used? I've used a lot. So when it comes to network monitoring, for the most part, it's mainly a lot of logs for network monitoring, because you're going to pull stuff up. For network monitoring, for security tools, I've used the Microsoft Suite. That's a good one for the SIM right now. You've got Tenable. There's so many out there. When it comes to the network monitoring, it really depends on what you're trying to do, right? So you can pull up Wireshark and you can monitor what's going on. You can mirror port, follow what's going on. It depends on what you're trying to do. So let me give you, for instance, I had a network that I was on one time, and all of a sudden the network went down. Had no clue what was going on. It's in the middle of the day. Just, of course, and this was back 10, 12 years ago. So nobody's thinking cybersecurity. Nobody's thinking that somebody's in the network and going crazy. But at this point, we're trying to figure out, you know, why is it that nobody can access anything? So we pull up Wireshark, we mirror a port, span port, and we capture data for about 20 minutes. Now, of course, at this whole time, you've got executives and everybody screaming and yelling at you, hey, the network's down, what are we doing? they need to understand at that point, it takes a lot of time to start chugging through network files and PCAPs and stuff to actually find out what's going on when you're looking at that at this level. What ended up happening was somebody, how this happened, I have no clue. And we're talking 12 years ago. Somebody's iPhone took over as the router of the network for whatever reason. As soon as we removed that, then all of a sudden everything worked. So learning how to actually look through PCAPs, pulling PCAPs and understanding logs for networking, that's essential for stupid issues like this. Like, this made no sense. Don't know how in the world an IoT device would have become the quote unquote router on the whole network. Not sure. All right, I'm going to take a second, grab a drink. I'm going to run Jerry's Cyber 101 course, and then I'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Are you looking to pivot your career into something more secure and exciting? Hi, I'm Dr. Gerald Osier, and I'm here to guide you into the world of cybersecurity. Now, whether you're 25 or 45, switching careers can be intimidating and challenging, especially into cybersecurity, which has an overwhelming amount of roles and disciplines. Now, based on my 20 years of industry experience and years of teaching at the Citadel Military College, I've designed and built Cybersecurity 101 to be your one-stop launchpad to new beginnings. Cybersecurity 101 offers over 22 hours of video content, 100-plus lessons, 12 hands-on labs, all starting from the basics. So whether you have IT experience or not, I've got you covered. This course was designed as a comprehensive college-level curriculum and should take about 3 months to complete at 4 hours a week. Try it out and see for yourself. I've made some of the lectures and labs available to access without paying anything so you can see what's going on. Take the first step towards your new career. Visit simplycyber.io/cyber101 to learn more and enroll in Cybersecurity 101. Your future in cybersecurity starts today.
All right, I'm back, and I've got a question. I've got, number one, I've got Elijah Bush, who is a first-timer, so...
Welcome to the party, pal!
Let's welcome you in. I've got a question from Carrie, and Carrie asks that he has a person that is offering a contract to hire in his area, and he'd love for it to be real, but he wants to know how he can find out if it is real. That he's been looking for this right now. So, Carrie, get a phone number and call them. If they're in your area, number one, if they're in your area, the contract's in your area, find out who the company is, find out where they're located. If they're actually located in your area and they call and you go to call them and it says that their headquarters are in your area, but they give you a number that is not in your area or in the vicinity, then that may be a sign that that's not legit, number one. But call them. Do not do everything over email or over Zoom or call them and find out and get the full scoop of what's actually going on. That's where to start from to find out if it's real, and look everything up. Like I said, do your own OSINT on the company and make sure the company is real. That's about all the advice I can give you to make sure that the job that is being sent to you is an actual real job. Oh, good. Live Beats. Any thoughts on an EDR for a small business? I use Sophos, but I'm interested in what your thoughts are. When you say small business, it depends on how small. We're talking like 20 people. Sophos is okay. Let's do this. Just depends. So Live Beats, it just depends on what the budget is. If they have a decent budget, you could get something like CrowdStrike. You could get something like Bitdefender. You could possibly use the depending on what operating system you're using. They could go into Azure AD and maybe use I think it's a E1 or an E3 license. It just depends on what the budget is for it. is going to kind of really depend on what it is that they want, or what they'll be able to get. Let's see. We've got eight. Any other new questions? No new questions. I think I hit all the questions. So what I did want to do is I do want to, got another one from J-Man19920. Any ways to help with job search? Got a few callback, but nothing past that. He says, I have every certification in the world. It's basically what he's got on here. Eric Taylor, yes. Eric is going to say the only acceptable answer is CrowdStrike. Like I said, it would depend on what you got going on money-wise in your pocket. But as Eric says, CrowdStrike would be a very good one for you to have. J-Man says he's got ITF Plus, Sec Plus, ISC Square, or he's got CC, he's got Google Cyber Cert, Azure Fundamentals, and working on my Microsoft Cybersecurity Certificate. J-Man, I need to know what you're trying to do. You're all over the place in here, number one. So you've got a Sec Plus, you've got CC, you've got, it looks like all of your certificates are based around cybersecurity, but then you have Azure Fundamentals. So you're trying to be a security person that's running Azure. I can tell you right now, if you're just looking to get into the industry, not necessarily trying to jump into cybersecurity with your Azure Fundamentals certificate, that would be a great way to get a system, a sysadmin type of job, junior sysadmin or cloud admin type, to run infrastructure in Azure. So that would be great. It sounds like one thing would actually be really good is to jump over into Jesse Slay Security Plus YouTube channel tonight. He's going to be going through a lot of stuff, and they'll talk about different jobs you can get in the industry. But when you're looking for a job, you got to decide, are you going for one specific job, or are you going for, like, I'm not going to get into the industry unless I have this job? Or is it, I want to get into the industry, so I don't care what job I get, I just want to make sure that I'm part of it, and then I will pivot or move around. So I did have one other. Let me pull this up. I did have one other story I wanted to read and make sure everybody has and understands before we get out. Now, this doesn't necessarily pertain to the United States. It seems like this story is more around what's going on in China and Tibet. And I'll pull up ChatGPT and we'll grab everything on here. But it looks like there was a Chinese-linked threat group that's specifically Evasive Panda, so that their hacking team. They target the visitors to a Buddhist festival website and the users of a Tibetan language translation application. So if you have this translation application on your phone or on your device and you're at this festival is what you're where you're being attacked at. Looks like the campaign started last September and affected multiple countries, including India, Taiwan, Australia. Looks like some in the United States and Hong Kong. The attackers' websites related to the Tibetan Buddhist and Tibetan language translations, utilizing droppers and backdoors of MGBot, I'm not sure what MGBot is, and Nightdoor, to affect users. The global impacts, the cyber operations campaign targeted systems across a broad geographical area, indicating a high level of coordinates and resistance. So This was a waterhole attack, so I don't know if everybody understands or knows what a waterhole attack is. It's kind of, think about your National Geographic shows, right, where everybody out on the plains is looking for water, but there's only one watering hole, so everybody comes to that place to do something. So that's what a watering hole effect is. It comes in, Eric Taylor's busting my chops about ChatGPT summarizing everything. Everybody would come into that watering hole to get water. So that's what this is. They have set up a spot or set up a site where everybody is coming to possibly grab this this application, and then that application has something in it that throws backdoors in and takes over the device. Pop back out. Let's see what else we got. Anybody else? Any other big questions? Let's see. Say hello. We are at 8:31 right now. It looks like. Looks like we've hit everything. Looks like I've grabbed every single question that's popped in so far. Anybody else have anything before we wrap up jawjacking for, what is it, Thursday, March 7th, 2024? We're in here jawjacking and taking over. We've taken over the Daily Cyber Brief from Jerry while he drives in and goes and teaches at the Citadel. If we don't have anything else popping in, then we'll go ahead and call it a day. I want to thank everybody for throwing in questions. I had a great time hanging out with everybody. That's going to be it for me for jawjacking. But don't forget today. Oh, it looks like Carrie just grabbed one. Let me get this. When they ask for experience in legacy phones and VoIP, how do I get that? Carrie, let's talk. Send me a message in Discord and I will answer that for you. That's not something you're just going to randomly grab out of the air. Having access to a PBX or to a voice over IP system or an IP system that uses PBX, that's a lot there. But I want to remind everybody that today, 4:30, we've got Jerry in his office hours. I think he said he'll do AMA or whatever it is that he's going to do. It's going to be just him, no special guest. So he's going to be there taking questions, doing labs or whatever comes to mind. And then don't forget tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you have Jesse and Slay Security, and they're going to be going through all of Domain 2 in Sec Plus. And I believe he said he's going to have a massive questionnaire or questions, like 55 or 50 plus questions that they're going to go through just over Domain 2 to make sure you're ready for your Sec Plus. All right. So with all that being said, I am DJ BSec, otherwise known as Ben. That's it for jawjacking for March 7th. 2024, and we will see you tomorrow morning for the next Daily Brief with Jerry. Everybody have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that content. Keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.